Well, I want to thank the choir and praise team and orchestra today. Thank you for your faithfulness in leading us in worship. And today is a great day to be here in the house of the Lord. And as we think about Mother's Day, I want you to turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a message that I've entitled, A Legacy of Faith. A Legacy of Faith. Well, I tell you, we're so thankful for our mothers and what they mean in our lives. And as we think about that today, I want us to see two mothers in particular in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and that is Lois and Eunice. Lois and Eunice. Now, they are a couple ladies that had a major impact upon a young man's life, Timothy. And so as you turn there with me, we're going to see how God used these two women to impact a young man's life that God used in a powerful, powerful way. A legacy. What is a legacy? What is a legacy? A legacy is something handed down from the past. It's something that you pass down to someone else. Sometimes those legacies are passed within the family, and other times you can pass a legacy down to someone that you mentor or that you disciple. And so a legacy is something that we think is important that we pass down to someone else. And we leave all kinds of legacies behind. In fact, we all leave a legacy. The question really is, what type of legacy do we leave? You're leaving some type of testimony, some type of legacy in your life that you're passing down to someone, either your kids or someone that you mentor, someone that you spend a lot of time with. What type of legacy do you pass down? Now, for some men and women, they spend their whole lives trying to pass down the family business to their children. And that's just their desire, that's their heart's desire, and someone has built some business, and it's been successful, and man, they want so badly for their son or their daughter to inherit that business and take it over, and they just, that's what they're all about that. Others I've seen, and we talked last week about the teachers, and we're just so thankful for our teachers, right? And there's, in a lot of families, there happens to be almost a legacy of teachers. There's some of that in my family where there's teachers that have taught, and then their kids taught, and the other kids taught. And sometimes I think within families, you know, there's a legacy of that, and really they hope that they kind of pass that legacy down, and man, you're in a family of teachers. Now listen, all of that, none of that is bad if that's what God has called you to. And I need you to hear that today. None of that is bad if that's what God's called you to. So if your kids are called to take over the family business, great. But understand, God might have a different calling upon their life. If your child is called to be an educator, wonderful, exciting, great. But God might have a different call on their life. So what is the most important legacy then that we can pass down to someone else? Well, it's not a business. It's not to be an educator. It's not to do a bunch of different things that we think are so important in this world. No, the most important legacy that any of us can pass down to someone else is this. It's a legacy of faith. A legacy of faith. And we see that here in 2 Timothy. Let's begin reading, starting in chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Paul writes, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced is in you also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. that your word is faithful and it is true. And that this morning, as we've read this, we see that these two women, Lois and Eunice, passed down a legacy of faith to young Timothy. And God, you used Timothy in a mighty way in your kingdom. And Lord, we're asking today that you would speak to our hearts about the important calling that you've given moms and dads to focus on passing down to children, grandchildren, loved ones, the legacy of faith. Lord, help us understand that today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, with it being Mother's Day, for some of you, this is a fun and joyful day. And for others, it is a difficult and a hard day. And maybe for several of you, it's both joyful and fun and hard. And the reason I know this is because many of you are dealing with issues related to Mother's Day, because over the last year or over the last few years, you lost your mother. And she left, and God called her home, and she went home to be with Him in heaven. And so today, you're thinking about her, and you're grieving about that. Others of you, maybe you have had a rocky relationship with your mother. You haven't had a good relationship with her, and so today, you struggle with that, and you think about that, and there's some tension there in your life related to that difficult relationship, or maybe you're a mom in here today and you've got a difficult relationship with your own kids, and so today that is brought up, and you think about all of the trouble that you have gone through or that you're dealing with. And for some of you in here this morning, some of you ladies, you have not been able to have your own biological kids. And so Mother's Day has been difficult for you each and every year, because it reminds you that you desired to have a biological son or daughter, but you were never able to have one. And so I want to just say this to you: no matter where you're at today, God loves you. God sees you. God knows your life. He knows His plan for you, and God's with you, and He cares for you. We as a church love you. I love you, and God wants you to know today that He loves you. And I believe this message applies to all of us this morning, because even if you're able to have your own kids or you were not able to have your own kids, God has still given us people in our lives that we can have an impact on. If they're biological or if they're not biological, there are people in our lives that we can pass a legacy and a testimony of faith down to. As we read that passage of Scripture, the context here is Paul is writing this pastoral letter to young Timothy. Timothy was a young man who lived in Lystra, who Paul went on his first missionary journey to this place, and we believe that Paul most likely won Timothy to the Lord under his ministry in his missionary journey there to his hometown. And later, Paul went on a second missionary journey, and he went back to Timothy's hometown, and while he was there, between the time that he was saved and the second missionary journey, Timothy became a man of great reputation, a man who loved God, that God was using in a mighty way. And so Paul actually had Timothy and brought Timothy on as a helper, as a missionary with him in his life. And so he had enlisted Timothy into the ministry. What I'm trying to tell you is Timothy was a young man that was pastoring the church in Ephesus. God had saved Timothy's life. God had called Timothy to preach and to pastor, and he had served with the Apostle Paul. And now we see here that all of this that happened in Timothy's life, it could be traced back to two women. All that God was doing in Timothy's life could be traced back to two women: his grandmother and his mother. It says it right here in verse 5. Paul says, I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced is in you also. The greatest call in a mother's life is to be a mother who gives her life to teach her children and to point her kids to Jesus. Let me say that again. The greatest call in a mother's life is to teach and point her children to Jesus Christ. Mothers have a special connection to their kids, and we all know that. Mothers are the ones who, when a child needs something, moms, you've heard this many times. Mama, mama, mom. We hear it in our house all the time. We were out Mother's Day shopping, and my kids saw a hat. And the hat said, go ask your dad. They said, we need to get that for mom. I said, she's not going to wear that. So we didn't get it. And then I asked her. I said, they wanted to get you. She said, I'd have wore that hat, you know. Because moms, man, it's just constant. Kids say, they say, mom, mama. Why? Because there's a special connection that moms have with their children, that children have with their mother. It's just something special. We know that mothers, they probably spend more time with their children than anyone else, because their kids always want, when a child is sick, they don't want their daddy, they want their mama. And moms, unlike anyone else, they somehow love to get in all those germs and just love on their kids while they're sick. Because there's just something, God designed moms and you ladies in a special, powerful, awesome way. And we are so thankful for how God has created you and how you pour into your kids and you spend time with them. And so we can see that God, through Paul, is saying, listen, you want to know where Timothy comes from. You want to know why Timothy is the man that he is, that's been saved and called by God to preach. God says, look back to the grandmother and look back to the mother. Look back to Lois. Look back to Eunice. And you're going to see this legacy of faith that has come through these women down to young Timothy. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 16. And I just want you to see something. You can hold your place there in 2 Timothy. But in Acts chapter 16, you're going to see a little bit of what we're talking about here. This is In verse 1 of Acts 16, you're going to see Paul is on his second missionary journey here. And so he goes back to Lystra, where Timothy was from, and we're going to see where Paul enlists Timothy into the ministry. But listen to what this says in verse 1. Paul went on to Derbe and to Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. The brothers and sisters in Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. Lois passed down a legacy of faith to Eunice. We see there in 2 Timothy that Lois, the grandmother of Timothy, was faithful to teach the scriptures and to pass down a faith to Eunice. And then as Eunice got older and Eunice had young Timothy, we see that Eunice was faithful. That what her mom had passed down to her, she then passed that down to Timothy. And both Lois and Eunice passed down this legacy of faith to Timothy, a legacy of loving God with all their heart, a legacy of walking with God, a legacy of desiring to be with God and studying His Word and praying. We see in Acts chapter 16, and I believe it's kind of phrased like this on purpose, and I believe there's a reason why we don't see Timothy's father listed even in 2 Timothy chapter 1, is because evidently Timothy's father was not a believer. It says here that he was a Greek. It doesn't say he was a believing Greek, as it says about the women who were believing Jews, but it says that Timothy had a father who was a Greek. And people knew that he was a Greek. And so Timothy's father was a Greek pagan unbeliever. So here's this family, which really is like a lot of families in our society today. You had some women who were faithful to God. You had some women who loved the Lord with all their heart. You had some women that were serious about the things of God. You had some women that when the church was open, they brought their kids to church. You had some women here that prayed over their kids during the day, prayed over their kids in the morning, prayed over their kids in the evening. You had some women that served the Lord in the temple, that served God in the church, and you had a man, a husband, a father who wanted nothing to do with it. And there he is, and he's just kind of a footnote here in the text saying that he had this father who was a Greek. And I want to just take a moment and say something to the men in here today, that men, you are called, we are called to be the spiritual leaders in our household. That's not a knock on the women. God has called you to stand up and to be a spiritual leader. The ladies desire, the moms, your wife, they desire for you to be the spiritual leader. They crave it. They need it. And I just want to encourage all of us men today, and I want to say, step up. Let's step up. Stop passing it off to the mom. Stop passing it off to your wife and just saying, hey, she can handle all that spiritual stuff. She can handle the church stuff with the kids. And on Sunday, I'll go do what I want to do. On Wednesday, I'll go do what I want to do. And hey, it's great that she loads them up and takes them to Sunday school. And it's great that she loads them up and takes them to church. It's great she loads them up and brings them on Wednesday night. And I'm glad she does that. But, you know, that can just be her thing. Listen, man, that's not what God has called you to. You need to lead the way. You need to lead the way. That's what God has called you to. That's a sad reality in our society, is that we have men today that are like Eunice's husband and Timothy's father. Moms, let me just encourage you this morning, because I've seen this all throughout my ministry, that many moms and wives are dealing with that dynamic. You don't have the support from your husband in the faith like you need. I would just say to you, don't give up. Do not give up. Don't let that stop you from doing what's right. Pass the legacy of faith down anyways. God will strengthen you. God will empower you. God will be with you. And in fact, you will have an impact on your husband as you continue to be faithful to God. Motherhood is under attack. It's under demonic attack in our society. I don't know if you realize that, but it is. Society tells both men and women that the most important thing today is your career. That the most important thing is having a big retirement plan. That the most important thing is financial security. Society today says, our young people especially, you all know what I'm talking about here, and you need to hear this. Society today tells our young people that it's better to just have a fun, adventurous lifestyle, go on trips, do all of these things, and don't worry about having kids. It's not worth it. And I'm telling you today, church, that's a demonic attack. God has called us to be fruitful and multiply, and the great calling upon a woman's life and a man's life is to be a man and a woman of God who passes down a legacy of faith, whether that be a biological child or a child you adopted or a child that you are pouring into in Sunday school class or a child you're pouring into in a classroom somewhere. Whoever God brings into your life, God has a great calling for you to pass down a legacy of faith. Do not listen to the lies of the enemy who tell you that there are other things more important than that. How can you pass down a legacy of faith? Well, if we'll go back and look here in 2 Timothy, it says in verse 5, I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm convinced is in you also. How can you pass down this sincere faith? Well, there's an important word here, and it says, Paul says, I remember the sincere faith that lived and lives in your grandmother and your mother and also lives in you. So here's what I'm saying to us today. Number one, you must have a sincere faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a genuine faith. It's not a made-up faith. It's not a wannabe faith. It's a genuine faith in Almighty God. Let me say it another way. You can't pass down something that you don't have. There's some things that my parents passed down to me, and there's some things they didn't. The things they didn't pass down to me, they didn't pass it down because they didn't have it. But as I think about my mother today, one of the things that she is she's a gardener. She loves garden, flowers. She loves flower gardening. I mean, she just loves it. I mean, it's what she spends her time doing. And because she loves flower gardening, and because I saw her spending so much time doing it, and many times I was able to go out and kind of learn from her, I found now in my own life that even though I'm not good at it like she is, that I kind of enjoy it. And I kind of get more and more into it. And of course, I'll call her and I'll say, hey, what's this plant? What should I do? When do I trim this plant? When do I do this? Hey, and she gives me all those answers. And I like sometimes getting out there and like getting my hands in the dirt and working on those things because, see, that's just something that was passed down to me because that's what my mother did. And I knew she loved it and I knew she cared for it. And I saw that and I did that with her some. And so I've kind of taken that on a little bit in my life. See, that was passed down to me because that's something I knew was real in my mother's life. You can't pass down something that you don't have in the first place. So let me ask you this. Where is your faith with God? Do you have a sincere, genuine, living faith in Jesus Christ? Look at what he says here. It says, your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother and your mother and now is in you. This is not just a fake faith. This is a real faith. He says here, it lived in you. It lived in them. This is a living faith. Motherhood is a life of doing. I am blessed with Chelsea. There she is. I'm just so blessed to be able to watch how she is a mother to our children. I mean, it blows my mind. I mean, really, moms in here, you are the superheroes, and there's just no doubt about it. Like, you do things that no one else can do, and it's amazing. And one of the things is I see that mothers, it's just this life of doing. You're constantly working. It's one task after another. It's 24/7, and it never stops. and you get worn down, you get tired, you get exhausted, but moms have an ability to just keep going. I mean, men, you remember this, when your wife had those babies, you remember when that baby was a weeks old, a month old, a few months old, and you were conked out because you had hit the limit, but mom just kept pressing through, kept serving that baby, kept taking care of that baby. And you can think back to that and you're like, man, how in the world she did? Because God gifted her in a powerful way. But let me just say something. Motherhood is a life of doing, but you don't pass down a legacy of faith by doing. You pass down a legacy of faith by being. By being. What do I mean by that? It's by being in Jesus Christ. It's having a genuine, sincere faith in the Lord, and that your faith is a living faith. Listen, it's not a laundry list to check off. Passing down a legacy of faith is not a laundry list you check off and you just keep it going and you keep it rotating and you get through it and then you do it again another day. No, 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 it's not. It's a living faith in Jesus. Haven't you ever heard the saying, more is caught than taught? That's a true statement. More is caught in life than taught. You can tell somebody something, you can try to teach them something by your words, but more is learned in our life by being with someone and watching them, hearing them, doing things with them, and all of a sudden we catch it, what they got, they pass on to us because we catch it from them, because more is learned by catching than from the teaching that we receive. Don't get me wrong, friends. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling us to not sit down and teach our kids how to pray. I'm not telling us to teach our kids things. I'm not telling us to not teach them about the Bible. Those are good things. We must do those things. We need to do those things. But the greatest impact that you will have on other people's life is how you actually live for Jesus. So really, if I was to kind of bring it all down to one statement, here's what I might would say. Love Jesus more than anything. You want to pass down a legacy of faith to your kids? Love Jesus more than anything else. Do your kids know that you love Jesus more than your job? Do your kids know that you love Jesus more than your husband? Husbands, do your kids know you love Jesus more than your wife? Do your kids know that you love Jesus more than them? Let me just put it like this. Jesus must be the very first priority in our life, and nothing comes close to Jesus. And if we will make Jesus our top priority, if we will have a living faith in Jesus, if we will live for Him every single day, friends, you and I will pass down a legacy of faith to those that we come in contact with. We show and we demonstrate our faith in Jesus, and you will pass down that legacy of faith. And I want to encourage the moms in here today with this word. This is relieving to you. This is rest to you. This is what God has called you to. We live in grace, the grace of God. He has called us to rest in Him. And if we will be abiding in Christ, living in Christ, loving Jesus, walking with Him, here's what's going to happen. Your kids are going to see you pray. They're going to know you're a prayer warrior. They're going to see you study your Bible. They're going to know the Word of God's important to you. They're going to see you at church worshiping God. They're going to know worshiping Jesus. Jesus is important to you. They're going to see all of these things demonstrated in your life. They're going to experience the love of Jesus coming through you and being poured into them. And so what I'm telling you, friend, is it's not a laundry list of things that you and I have to do in order to pass down a legacy of faith. No, it's abiding in Christ, resting in Him, walking with God, and I believe you will pass down a legacy of faith to those that you're close to. That's what God is calling us to. How should we respond today? Well, let's go back and look at verse 3. He says in verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. I was reading this and I just thought, what an appropriate response for us when Paul says, I thank God. I think one of our responses today should be, we thank God for our mothers and the mother figures in our life who have made a major impact upon us. God created mothers. We need to give thanks for our mothers. Give thanks for your mom. My mom will be watching this sometime when it goes on the internet. So I want her to hear me. I love you, Mom, and I thank you. And I'm telling you today, I know you've already done this, but just in case you haven't, maybe you forgot to send a card, okay? Don't forget next year. You need to pick up the phone today, and you need to call your mom, and you need to say, Mom, I love you, and I thank you. Thank you for passing down a legacy of faith to me. Thank you for loving Jesus. Thank you for all you've done in my life. We should have gratitude and thanksgiving by the grace of God that He gave us the mother that He gave us. We need to have gratitude and thank Him. He says also that He says, I thank God, remembering in verse 4, remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I would say we respond also today by remembering. He says, I remember, he's talking to Timothy here. He's saying, Timothy, I remember your tears when I had to depart from you. That you had grief over my departure. And I was thinking as I read that of how many of us, we don't even know how much and how often our mother wept over us. We don't even know. When we were lying in a crib and Mom was in her bed and she was praying and weeping and crying for you and me. And I think about today how there's some of you in here, your mom has already gone to be with God in heaven, and you've spent years mourning that and weeping, saying, I wish I could see you, Mom. I wish I could pick up the phone and call you, Mom. I love you, Mom. And you remember all that your mom has done for you. Well, today, as you thank God, remember and rejoice for what your mom has done. And remember this, that one day you will be with her again in heaven if she had faith in Jesus. How wonderful it is today to be comforted, to know, as it's difficult as it is, that your mom is not here anymore, that one day you'll get to see her face again in heaven. You'll be able to give her a hug, feel that embrace. You'll be able to love her just like that. Pass the legacy of faith down. That's what we're called to as men and women. Listen, I don't have a whole lot of time left in this message, but let me just say this. You can pass the legacy of faith down to so many people. I am so thankful today for the men and women that serve in both our kids and student ministry. Since my kids have been here, we have seen men and women pour into their lives during Sunday school, on Sundays, on Wednesday nights. There's been people that have taught our kids. My kids, in just the short amount of time, they've learned Psalm 23. They have that memorized. They've learned 1 Corinthians chapter 13. They have memorized other scriptures. Just in a few months here with people that have dedicated themselves, that they're not just there babysitting or taking care of the kids. They're investing their lives. They're passing a legacy of faith down to the next generation. I just want to say thank you to you, everybody that does that. Can we just take a moment and say thank you to the people in our church that are investing in the next generation? And so listen, we do it with our kids, but there's other kids and other people that we're able to invest in. And so let's pass the legacy of faith down. The last response that I would have for us today is really simple. I want us to know that your mama's faith can't save you. Let me say that again. Your mama's faith can't save you. Just because your grandmother went to church and was a Christian, and just because your mom was a Christian and went to church, doesn't make you a Christian. No. As Paul said to Timothy, the sincere faith, the genuine faith that they had, Paul says, Timothy, you have a genuine faith in Jesus also. The only way that you will be saved, and the only way that you one day will be in heaven, and the only way your life will be transformed is if you place your personal faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And if you're here today and you're not sure if you've trusted in Jesus, or you just thought, hey, I'm a Christian because my mom was a Christian, that's not the case. There has to come a point in time in your life when you respond to the gospel and you, in repentance and faith, say, Jesus, I give my life to you. And if you'll do that, you will have salvation and you will have a genuine faith that you can pass down to others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you today that over the next few moments as we respond, that anyone in this room that doesn't know you, Jesus, personally, have the living faith in their life, a genuine faith, that today the greatest thing that they could ever do is to leave their seat, to come forward and say, today I trust in Jesus. I surrender my life to Him. Lord, we thank you today for our mothers, remembering them and just praising you, God, for them, and may they be blessed today. Lord, for our mothers that are in heaven, Lord, we thank you that they're with you there, that one day we'll see them if we have faith in you, God. Lord, as we respond, we ask that you would help us to take seriously this calling of passing down a legacy of faith. Move us, Holy Spirit, as we respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing. I'm standing down front. If you have a decision to make, do not wait. Do not hesitate. Leave where you're at. Come forward and make your decision for Christ.